For those of you who don't know me, my name is Justin Cluck, and my wife. A few of you might know me. My wife Erica and I have just came in, and today I have the awesome privilege of introducing your senior chapel speaker. He's a man that many of you probably have seen around. He's got a face that stands out and a body that stands short. But he's a great friend of mine. I've known Jason really well for the past 2.5 years. Had the awesome opportunity to really get close to him over the past 2 years. And I know that he is the man that God has appointed to be the leader of the student body for this year. And there's a reason and a purpose for that. I've spent a lot of time with Jason, shared my heart with him. He shared his heart with me. And I know that he has laid out a vision for this campus, a vision for the student body for this next year. And I just want you guys to get on board with Jason and the things that he has. He's an awesome man of God. He's done tremendous things over his short life. Emphasis on short. But Jason he's just an incredible friend, an incredible man of God. He's been the National Ranger of the Year. He's holding strong for the Royal Rangers. He's involved in youth ministry and children's ministry, and he's done some incredible internships. But more importantly, he's a man of God who's heard from God for this morning. And I would like for you to join with me in welcoming your senior chapel speaker, Jason Varghese.
Thank you. Thanks. All right. Thank you so much, Cluck. Man, you're like a big brother that I never had. And, man, you meant so much to me. You mentored me for 2 years. Learned a lot from you. Learned some things I shouldn't have done from you. But I've learned so much from you. Faculty and staff, thank you so much just for investing so much into me and into all of our lives. And I couldn't thank you so much more. Soccer guys, I know you guys had a tough loss the other day. So it was great playing with, there's only four returners, so four of you. It was great playing with four of you, my 2 years playing with you guys. Give Calvary a lot, win. So thank you so much. I want to thank my little brother. He's at the University of Illinois right now. Man, just journeying through life together without a father. Man, you're like one of my best friends, and I really want to thank you so much. My Royal Ranger Commander, I know some of you might laugh, but Tom Kestlin back home in Illinois, I thank you so much. You are my father. You are that male role model that I needed. You were the first guy to say that you love me and you were proud of me, which meant a whole lot to me. My mom back home in Illinois, thank you so much. The fact that you were just there and would put me and my brother first is awesome to me. And the fact that you would pray that God's hand would be upon us. And I'm not surprised today that I'm standing here at Central Bible College, September 8th, speaking in Senior Chapel. Thank you so much. It's kind of interesting looking back at the chapel services this year, and I feel like God has just confirmed every chapel that this is the message I'm supposed to be speaking today. Feels like everybody has preached my sermon except for me. But I know that this is God's word, and before we begin, let's just pray. Lord God, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you that you've just given me this word. I don't take it lightly being up here, and I just ask that you just continue to anoint my words in your precious name. Amen. I forgot to say one more thank you, and I would be a bonehead move by me to not say this, but the SGA Council for this year, would you please stand? Thank you so much. I couldn't be blessed with a better council, so thank you so much. let's begin. Johnny Fulton, run over by a car the age of 3. He suffered a fractured skull, crushed hips, broken ribs, compound fractures on his legs. Compound fractures on his legs. It looked as if he could not even live, but he did not give up. He ended up running a half mile in less than 2 minutes. Walt Davis, totally paralyzed at the age of 9, but he did not give up. He ended up winning an Olympic medal in high jumping. Shelley Mann, paralyzed at the age of 5, but she didn't give up. She ended up winning a gold medal in the Olympics in swimming. Lou Gehrig, clumsy ball player. His neighborhood friends wouldn't even pick him to be on his team, but he didn't give up, and as many of you know today, he was named to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Abraham Lincoln, his mother died, lost his job at a store clerk, lost the presidency of election to the vice president, lost the election to the Senate, but he didn't give up, and he became the President of the United States, and from Illinois, which is good. Each one of them had an obstacle. Given most of their obstacles was physical, but they had an obstacle that deterred them, that could have deterred them from being the person of God they were called to be, to being the person in society they're called to be, if I can stand corrected. But they had this obstacle that could have deterred them from making a tremendous impact on society. But they made a decision that they weren't going to let anything stop them from being that person society needed them to be. I believe there's things in our lives today that are holding us back from giving our all to God. They might be doubt. It might not be physical. It could be spiritual. It could be putting entertainment over our prayer lives. It could, whatever obstacle it could be, we need to lay it down. Today, we need to lay down every obstacle in our lives that might prevent us from giving our all to God by following 2 steps. And these steps are outlined in Romans chapter 12. So please turn with your Bibles with me to Romans 12. And as you're turning, I'm just going to examine the previous chapter to really understand what Paul meant when he said these words. In chapter 11, Paul concluded that both Jews and Gentiles were disobedient to God. Furthermore, they were recipients of God's grace. And in view of that grace, Paul further praises God. He says that no one has been his counselor. No one has completely understood the mind of God. God owes nothing to any one of us. But he says, God alone is the possessor of absolute power and wisdom. The Almighty God deserves our praise. He is the sustainer and ruler of the world that we live in. And in light of God's great mercy, Paul writes these words in Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God, or Paul is not God, I'm sorry. But Paul is urging us. He's insisting on us. He's impelling us to be a living sacrifice, completely devoted to him. He uses the term sacrifice in comparison with the Old Testament sacrifice. And when you take an animal, your first fruits, an animal without blemish, and you sacrifice to God in the Old Testament, and this was your spiritual act of worship. But Paul is saying that God no longer wants an animal. He wants us. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants a sacrifice that steps into that offering plate and says, God, here am I. Use me. I'm ready to give my all to you. That's what he's calling us to be. He's calling us to be a living sacrifice. A sacrifice that is pleasing to God, that he agrees upon. A sacrifice that is holy, that is set apart. A sacrifice that this is our spiritual act of worship. So many times we worship God with our mouth, and that's awesome in song, and that's great. And I'm not saying not to do that, but what I am saying is we need to worship God with our actions. We need to be that living sacrifice, devoting all we are, all we have, all we can do to God. Now, in order to be that living sacrifice, we need to take that first step. We need to be above reproach. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. We need to walk away from the ways of this world. As in Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with its practices. It's our duty to lay down the distractions of this world. Because if we don't, it's going to consume us. It's going to be that hindering block from having a deeper relationship with God. Like I said, I believe there's something holding us back from giving our all to God. Can I be real? Maybe you brought pornography in. Maybe you did the things in your past and you brought it with you. Maybe you're hiding something. Maybe it's a hidden sin. Maybe it's unforgiveness towards someone. But there's something holding you back. Whatever it is, lay it down. The apostle illustrates this through the mundane of the changing of clothes. He talks about how we have dirty and filthy clothes and that it is a process to change. It is a process that this dirty and filthy clothes symbolizes the wickedness of sin. Even as people, we have a tendency to copy the characteristics and conform. I mean, we look at sports. If you're a baseball player, you do the same thing every day. Like, someone might eat fried chicken right before a game. I don't know how that works, but they conform. Maybe it's entertainment. Maybe it's the clothes that we wear. But we do conform. But the more important question is, are we conforming to the image of this world, or are we conforming to God, who's the Savior of our soul, who is mighty to save, who is worthy to be pleased? We need to conform to the image of God. We need to take on the characteristics that Jesus Christ showed us as he walked this earth. It's time to make a commitment to replace the characteristics of this world with the characteristics of Christ. Not only do we need to walk away from the ways of this world, but we need to be set apart. In Galatians 1:15 through 16, it says, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Paul lines his conversion in God, who determined his role as a preacher to the Gentiles. He believed that God had divinely ordained him for this. It was also shown in beginning of Romans chapter 1, verse 1, that God, he views his ministry, that God divinely ordained him, had divinely appointed him for no greater time than this. And can I encourage you today that God has placed you at Central Bible College for no greater time than this? We are set apart from the world. We are set apart from, if I can quote Jeff Sandstrom, the ordinary. We are set apart. I believe in my heart that there are some of you that are questioning your calling. I believe that there is some of you that are questioning whether you're even supposed to be here. You are supposed to be here. God called you here for a purpose, and he will not abandon his promises, but he will fulfill it. Take a look at all throughout the Bible. Take a look at the prophets. They were designated by God, divinely ordained to speak on his behalf. Take a look at Mount Sinai and the temple. They were set apart as holy places unto God. God desires for us to be set apart to bring glory to his name. Are we truly representing God? Are we truly representing a Christian and representing his name well? We need to be above reproach because we are called to do this. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16 says, But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We are called to do this. The gift of our life is set apart for God's use as he determines. It is a command to be holy because the Lord God whom we serve is holy. You know, I've never had kids, which is good because I'm single, but I hear that children often behave like their parents. They often look like their parents. But you know that we are God's children, and we need to behave like our Heavenly Father. We need to act like him. We need to take on the characteristics that he has shown us. We need to behave like our Father. And behaving like our Father is being holy because God is holy. He expects us to be holy at this very moment. Whatever thought is in your mind, whatever actions that you've taken, he expects us to be holy. This command is so important that these words were talked about in Leviticus 5 times. And Leviticus, it's a book about the law, pretty much. I mean, it's about the law. There's no give or take. It's time that we lay down our selfish desires. It's time that we lay down the characteristics of this world and give our all to God. When you look in the mirror, more importantly, when God looks at you, are you portraying the character of God? If not, let today be the day that you lay it down. Maybe we'll never be as holy as God is, but we need to be holy because he is. In the forests of Northern Europe and Asia, there was this animal called the ermine. And the ermine has this snow-white, pure fur, and it lives in a hole in a tree or a cleft in a rock. And this ermine, it can't get any dirt on it. It does whatever it takes to remain pure. And what fur hunters do is they'll take their dogs, they'll call it grime, and they'll grime it up and make it dirty. So when the ermine gets into its home, it can't go in there. So they send their dogs and they end up killing the ermine. But I believe we need to take a lesson from the ermine. We need to do whatever it takes to remain pure. We need to do whatever it takes to represent the name of the Lord. We need to do whatever it takes to bring glory to his name, even if it ends up meaning dying. Even if it ends up being a martyr, if you're going to be a missionary. We need to represent the name of the Lord well. Are we willing to do that? Am I willing to do that? I remember my freshman year, my first semester. I'm kind of different than Joey. I was here more than one semester before I was SGA president. But I remember my first semester, my freshman year, and I remember being in Dr. Jaffe's spiritual formation class. And I was there. I needed to lay something down. And I don't know if you remember this, Dr. Jaffe, but I was dealing with unforgiveness. And I was had this feeling of hatred, but I would just pass it on side. It was towards my biological father because he was never there. And we live in a society that says, what can you do for us lately? what can you do for us now? And I'm like, I haven't even seen my dad since I was 3, and I'm 22. So he hasn't done anything for me lately. So I had this thing holding me back from having a deeper relationship with God. And I'm going to be honest, Dr. Jaffe, you tore me up in that class. And, man, I had the conviction so bad. But that chapel, that next day in chapel, I laid it down. And it's free. You need to lay it down. Some of you are dealing with unforgiveness. Maybe it's for your father, your mother, your classmate. But you're dealing with unforgiveness, and we need to lay it down. I've been there. We need to lay it down. Maybe we need to make a declaration today. Maybe we need to declare that we will no longer conform to the pattern of watching radar movies. That we will conform no longer to the pattern of lying on reading reports. We will conform no longer to the pattern of doubt. We will conform no longer to the pattern of putting entertainment over our spiritual lives. We will conform no longer from fear of not belonging here. We will conform no longer to a lack of integrity. That we will conform no longer to lust. That we will conform no longer to every obstacle, every temptation that gets in our way from giving our all to God. Not only do we need to be above reproach, but we need to follow the second step. We need to have a Christ-like mindset. In Romans 12:2, it says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to imitate our Creator. In Ephesians 4:22 through 24, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." The term new self, I believe, describes the new position in Christ. That our old self is gone, and we take on the characteristics of Christ, take on the characteristics of God. That we no longer say yes to sin, but we say no. Say yes to Jesus, and it becomes natural to say no to sin and the temptations of this world. It has to start with our mindset. It has to start with the way we think. Remember, the lost world is darkened in its understanding, but we as Christians have enlightened in ours. We know the difference between right and wrong. The more we get into God's Word, the more He shapes us. He shapes our thinking. But do we really search and get into God's Word? I know I could do better than that. The world should be able to see Christ in us. The world should be able to see a pure representation of Jesus Christ. It talks about being in true holiness and in true righteousness, to be upright, to be set apart. This is the pure character of God, and we desperately need to portray the character of God. Not just that, but we also need to glorify God with our whole self. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. The servant's work shall also be done with all their heart, as if done for the Lord Himself." The verse is designed to prevent any possibility of a routine obedience. It's designed for to serve is without obligation, because you're not serving any man. You're not, when you serve this school, you're not serving Dr. Vigil. You're not serving any faculty. You're not serving any administration. But you're serving God. You're serving God, and that should be our focus. The life of a slave of a Roman Empire was not easy. They were regarded as objects and had no rights. Some had good masters and challenging works, but most had menial tasks. no matter what the menial task is, God needs to be glorified. No matter how annoying your roommate, sweetmate, or classmate might be, none of them are annoying to me, but no matter how annoying they might be, God needs to be glorified. No matter how might they might drive you crazy, God needs to be glorified. When you give plasma, when you... when you give plasma, when you help with Delta Chi in the blood drive, September 24th, God is glorified. When you're in your dorm room, God is glorified. When you're in your car, God is glorified. When you're in your office, God is glorified. When you're in your home, God is glorified. When you're at church, God is glorified. When you're in downtown Springfield, Missouri, if there is a downtown Springfield, Missouri, God is glorified. When you're at CMF Streets, God is glorified. H.W. Robinson once said, "Do your daily work so that your master in heaven can one day say, 'Good job and well done.'" Because the reason why we do this, the reason why we do this is not for any man. It's because God who created this universe, the God who saved our soul, the God who is holy and mighty is worthy to be pleased. A London businessman named Lindsay Clegg told a warehouse property he was selling. And he was selling it to this buyer, and there was vandals had damaged the door. They smashed the windows. They threw trash everywhere. Hopefully that's not like your dorm room. But as he showed the prospective buyer this property, he was like, "I'll repair everything. We'll clean up the trash. We'll repair the windows. We'll repair the door." But the buyer said, "I don't need those repairs." He said, "I can repair those. I just want the sight." I believe God wants our sight. He wants our building, but he can repair that if you allow him to. John Letterman, he sent me a Facebook message, and in that message it was this guy who acted like God, and he had a hammer. And it was this guy who was dealing with a whole bunch of things. And he was hammering out the things that weren't of God. Are there things in our life that we need to chisel out? Are there things in our life that we need to hammer out? Are we allowing God to examine every part of our lives? Careful. That's a serious statement to say. Are we going to allow God to examine every part of our lives? Are we going to allow him to hammer out the lust, the lack of integrity, the deception, the lies, the unforgiveness? Are we going to allow God to shape us? We need to. We need to lay down every obstacle. Now the result of this, the result of being above reproach and having a Christ-like mindset, is you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. You'll be able to discern that his will is good, it's morally right. His will is holy, it's set apart. You are set apart unto God when you follow this. His will is perfect, it's without fault. There's no blemish. Christian conduct only grows from learning when following Christ. You know, I really appreciate Dr. Arnett and Joey's sermon on revival and how the latter will be greater. And it's true. And I really appreciate seeing outside Zimmerman students seeking God's face and praying for revival. And we need revival. And it's awesome. But, CBC, if we don't lay down every obstacle, if we don't give our all to God, if we don't devote everything that we have, everything that we are, all that we can do, revival's not going to happen. So I would suggest, before seeking revival, are you willing to lay it all down? Are you willing to lay down the cost because you know the gain? And for this to happen, for us to lay it down, we need to be above reproach and have a Christ-like mindset. And in view of this, we're going to show a short video clip of how a father devoted everything he had to his son. Barry, can you show that?
This morning we're launching a new series called Today's Real Heroes. Our National Plus One Natalie Morales is here with an unforgettable pair. Natalie?
And it's a story you have to see to believe. Our real heroes today are Dick and Rick Hoyt, better known as Team Hoyt. And if you haven't heard of them yet, be prepared. They're almost legends in their own right, and you'll see right now why they are heroes to so many.
This is one of the greatest love stories of all time, a story of a father who climbs mountains and runs to the ends of the earth and back to give his son a better life, a life that transcends the limitations of his body. Rick Hoyt's fight started at birth 44 years ago when the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck.
He looked beautiful and he was strong and he was laying on his stomach and I thought he was doing push-ups. But what it was, he was having spasms.
The doctors told Dick and Judy Hoyt that their son had cerebral palsy and would never be able to walk or talk.
They said, forget Rick, put him away, put him in an institution. He's going to be nothing but a vegetable for the rest of his life. And we said, no, we're not going to put Rick away. We're going to bring Rick home and bring him up like any other child.
So when the Hoyt family went to the beach for a swim, Rick went too.
He'd sink down to the bottom and he'd look up and start laughing. He played street hockey. We'd just get a stick and push him in a chair and hold the stick for him. We did everything with him that we did with the other two boys.
And Rick responded.
And you look in his eyes and he was looking right at you and you could tell that he understood everything they were talking about.
But it wasn't until he was 12 when Rick found his voice, called the Hope Machine, a computer system created by a team of Tufts engineers.
Hopefully people will look at me as an intelligent person and look past my disabilities.
He could tell us exactly what he wanted, how he felt, you know, where he wanted to go. And it got him to go to school and he got to be able to talk to a lot of other people.
It was at high school where Rick first learned of a 5-mile charity road race for a paralyzed teenager.
And he said, Dad, I have to do something for him. I want to let him know that life goes on.
For Dick, who wasn't a runner, it was a call to action as a father.
Rick told me, he said, Dad, when I'm running, it feels like my disability disappears.
And that was all Dick needed to hear. Now, at the age of 66 and 44, Dick and Rick have run 950 races, 60 marathons, including their 25th Boston Marathon this year. They even started doing triathlons, competing in 6 Ironmans, the ultimate test of strength and endurance. All the way, Dick pulls, pushes, and carries Rick's 110-pound frame over the course of the 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and 26.2-mile run.
So on this day, we're going for a leisurely stroll. This is a slower pace than you two normally go, right?
Oh, this is a nice pace, too. It's a good break.
But they don't slow down for long.
As long as we're still having fun, we're enjoying it, and we're healthy, we're going to continue doing it.
But it's Rick's achievements on the sidelines that are most awe-inspiring.
I may be disabled, but I live a very fulfilling life.
Not only did Rick graduate from high school, but also from college, earning his degree from Boston University. And he now lives in his own apartment.
I have shown to disabled people that they don't have to sit back and watch the world go by. They too can go to school, get a job, and be included in everyday life.
The Hoyt's motto is simply, you can. And they've made so many believe anything is possible.
He's competing in road races, he's competing in triathlons.
Now all of a sudden all of these videos are popping up on us and people are emailing them around the world, and it's just a great feeling.
I read them an email they recently received, one of thousands, from a perfect stranger.
I write this because I'm a father, and to my shame, I have been nothing like you, Dick. I have been selfish more than I've been selfless. I'm not raising my son the way I intended to raise him. And up to this point, you could say, I have failed. But yesterday, in a moment's time, I was changed. My heart was broken when I saw how much you must love your son to put yourself through such agony that he might experience the thrill of the race. Yesterday, it became less about me and more about being my children's father. I thank you, sir. You hear this over and over again.
Yes, yeah.
It clearly is, it touches you every time.
It really does, yeah.
But you're more than a father. I mean, you are a hero to so many.
Mm.
And most importantly, you're a hero to Rick.
Yeah, I just think I'm myself, and I just love my family. And I just want to be the very best father I can be.
That's a good point, everybody. Way to go, Ricky. Way to go, dude.
Wow. What a great story. The father did everything he could. He devoted all that he had, all that he can do, all that he is for his son, so his son could experience and receive the joys of sports and the joys of this world had to offer. He had to train more than any other competitor. No one had to carry someone on their back and win that race. But are we willing to give all that we have? Are we willing to give all that we are and all that we can do? Not for a man, but for God. And are we willing to do whatever it takes to receive everything God has to offer us? That's why this year's SGA theme, as you look up here, is laying it down. That when SGA came up with this theme, that it is a process. That as you go through this school year, that there's going to be temptations and obstacles in your life that you need to lay down so that you can give your all to God. And we want to give you guys, as you exit the chapel, if I can find it. We want to give you guys these laying it down keychains so that when you will remember when you open your dorm room, when you open your office, when you open your car door, when you open your mailbox, you will remember to lay it down. Is there something in your lives today that's holding you back from giving your all to God? Before you leave, we're going to open up these altars. We're going to pray for you. Because I believe there's something in our way that is deterring us from giving our all to God. Maybe it's finances. Maybe you don't know how you're going to pay for 4 years here. Maybe it's finding a position for your seniors after you graduate. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe your family is not behind you in your call to ministry. Maybe it's sin that you have always been struggling with, or sin that you have developed within the first couple weeks of the year. What is it that is hindering you from giving your all to God? Whatever it is, give it to God. Lay it down. Come to the altar now. Come to the altar now and lay it down. Justin, as you can make your way up here. There is something, I know it, because it's been confirmed in so many chapels. Even when Charles Crowder spoke at our youth group, it was confirmed then that there is something inhibiting us from giving our all to God, from saying, God, here I am, use me, from giving God our all. So I'll say it again. Come to the altar now and lay it down. The altars are open.